Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is a delight to be with you, listeners, and a delight to be joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve.
How are you doing?
Just fine. Looking forward to today's discussion.
Yes, listeners, we're going to continue our discussion on adaptability. We had a wonderful introduction to it last week, and we talked about finding strength, really, and success in cultivating our ability to adapt, really to be responsive to change. That is adaptability. But it requires flexibility and resilience. Those two words, Dorothy, are coming up for me as I pondered last week's conversation, flexibility and resilience. And that flexibility and resilience are also the product of being adaptable and doing that quite often. So that's good news. So considering adaptability, it also brings to the forefront our capacity to observe, to discern, because we need to know what's going on and see it clearly in order to adapt to change. We need to see change coming. So discerning the process of adaptation will be the topic of today's show. So I look forward to it. You know, Mother Earth, right, has been adapting for 4.5 billion years. So we're going to look at her processes, her wonderful processes, and our own. How can we learn to adapt and make the process easier? Dorothy, you want to perhaps start off with a nice quote?
Yes, I always love to do this. So I've got two for us today, Steve. One from Albert Einstein. He writes, "The world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." And I think that's really interesting because it links nicely into, one of the basic principles that we keep coming back to, that energy follows thought.
Yes.
And so the world follows how we think about it. And that's the beginning of the process of adaptability. The other one is from the Dalai Lama. He writes, "We have no guarantee about the future, but we exist in the hope of something better." And we've talked before on this program about hope, about the fact that it involves effort strategies to work towards something and to be adaptable, to change as we need to as we go forward.
Yes, well, and we would be hopeful that many exist in the hope of something better, because hope is expansive, right? And we think of I think of adaptation as sort of this momentum that finds balance within that something better, something more, that expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. So we're going to talk a bit about Earth, I think, right? I mean, really, we need only look at our environment to see ways in which, you know, adaptability really plays a part of this very world we live in. In and on.
That's right. And, you know, we have a very recent focus, a continuous focus, but very recent specific focus on the issue of climate change, with the new report out saying our time frame has really shrunk. We've got basically till 2030 to get our act together, or the consequences are going to be very, very challenging. And the climate change is the result of our humanity's pushing the limits of Earth's ability to adapt to our polluting behaviors. We've been blessed that Earth has been willing to adapt as much as it has. But I think it may be helpful for our listeners to keep in mind that there have already been 5 mass extinctions. And it's the 6th mass extinction that we're potentially facing. And in those other mass extinctions, what happened was that, you know, half or more of all the species died out. And then each time the microbes survived, the bacteria survived and restarted the evolutionary process. So Earth has the ability to restart, to adapt, you know, to continually change. The question for us as humans is, are we going to be part of it? Or are we going to be basically writing the end of our particular species?
Well, and Dorothy, you said the 6th extinction as if it was just, it is going to be, that it's a fact, right? That's why I laughed. I thought, maybe there won't be a 6th extinction. But boy, when you look at that report, you know, you realize, I mean, and they say the changes have to be now and they have to be drastic, which means,
exactly,
you know, talk about cooperation and coordination and really understanding. Can we just play Spirit Fire Radio right on megaphones, because they've got to understand these principles of interdependence and interconnectivity of participation.
Right.
Indeed, as Albert Einstein says, the world we've created is a process of our thinking. We have created the world, and actually we have created this dilemma that our environment is facing, and we have got to change. So we've got to change our thinking, and it really doesn't look like it's moving in that direction so quickly. You know, you'd like to think that there's a chance, but that used to be, I remember, that used to be the year 2075, then 2060, and now it's 2030.
Right.
So that deadline is really, really approaching. And, you know, we have got to learn this capacity to adapt to these changes, you know.
Well, and unfortunately, the Trump administration is going in exactly the opposite direction, with the U.S. being one of the largest polluters in the world. I mean, President Trump has just been authorizing changes in environmental standards to encourage the use of ethanol, which is a polluter. And he's been really working on pushing for the return of coal mining, another industry.
On carbon emissions in cars. I mean, it's just that's number one. We've got to figure out a way to, limit the carbon emissions. And he says, let's loosen the tie on that.
And by contrast, I just saw a news item today that was about Ford in Germany needing to adapt to electric trucks because Germany is phasing out diesel, access to diesel fuel. So we have partners around the world who are taking this seriously and are trying to make the changes. But as you said, the thing that's missing is the recognition of that interconnectivity and the interdependence, that all of us need to act. We all need to adapt. It's not enough for just one portion of humanity to adapt.
Or a nation. You know, I mean, that's where you
see this
with Trump. I mean, he, as a leader, lacks maturity as a leader. And it seems we, as a humanity, oftentimes seem to lack the maturity to recognize that we're all interconnected. And when you say, one thing that came out last week was that a Darwin quote about, you know, survival of the fittest is not the strongest or the most intelligent, but it is that capacity to adapt to change. And, you know, human beings always think, well, and as Donald Trump often thinks, you know, we're the strongest country, so we can make these choices, and often plays the victim. I know we're going to talk about strategy in the next few weeks, but, you know, it is that intelligence is sometimes what gets our goat. You know, we think we're so intelligent, but that intelligence usually just circles back to a sense of entitlement or selfishness or self-preservation. doesn't look at the whole, and so the whole suffers. So sometimes, you know, intelligence is a double-edged sword, and strength, this idea of power and being strong and having leverage, you know, those don't cut it. It's this capacity to take a look at what is necessary and adapt. And, you know, for our very survival, and you just simply cannot be ignorant of that, you know, in this day and age, for sure.
Yeah, and if we, you know, if we look again at the issue of pollution, you know, as humans, we do generate carbon, you know, and it's, I mean, that's a reality. We're never going to get to a zero carbon production. But the issue is to do it in a way that then Earth can adapt to. And two of the mechanisms that Earth has for that adaptation is, one, the absorption of carbon dioxide by forests, and the other is absorption in the ocean waters and by marine plant life. And both of those we're busily destroying. I mean, I live in a small community in a very beautiful part of British Columbia, and the town council is talking about a project to basically remove a large segment of old growth forest for reasons that are not clear, for a project that could be done elsewhere where that those trees would not have to be removed. And we continually have controversies, not necessarily well managed, with people who want to build docks and other more permanent structures out over the water. And one of the benefits that we have right offshore is large eelgrass beds, which are major carbon sinks. If you cover those over so they don't get any sunlight, they die. So it's, you know, we need to think about the fact that our behavior needs to change, because Earth can only adapt to a certain extent. And after that, it's, you know, game over.
Yeah, and you know, you were very kind in saying that we are busily working to really destroy the ocean and the forest, because I think you could actually, you know, amp that up a little bit from busily to, you know, we seem to be adamantly focused upon it. It's quite interesting. You know, it seems to be just this flexing of power, and yeah, in the end, will not serve us well. Dorothy, we're already at our first break, so listeners, we hope you'll stay tuned, and we're going to continue our discussion on the process of adaptation when we return.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Demystifying the journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Are you ready to attract abundance, release stress, look and feel younger, all from your smartphone? Get Pure Light, a free mobile app with audios that transmit powerful frequencies to shift anything in your life. Created by some of the world's top energy healers, these audios have created miracles, often quickly. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit PureLightAudio.com.
Charlene Hess is a redheaded powerhouse of energy, love, and light. As a hairstylist, personal trainer, and life coach, she empowers people to develop a deeper connection with themselves mentally, emotionally, and physically. Join Charlene the third Friday of each month on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Get ready to experience your highest self, find your purpose, and discover your calling. You too can become unstoppable, shining your light and sharing your gift. Visit Charlene at charlenehess.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio and our show on the process of adaptation. How do we make that process more streamlined? And actually, how do we bring it to the forefront of our lives to make this world, a little bit smoother going these days? Dorothy, let's talk about our respective institutions. Spirit Fire Radio is made possible by the School for Esoteric Studies and Spirit Fire, and both Dorothy and I are here as representatives of those organizations. So, Dorothy, a few words on the School for Esoteric Studies?
Absolutely, Steve. So, the School for Esoteric Studies is an educational nonprofit that provides training for persons who have a spiritual practice that they wish to deepen. You can find out more about our training program at esotericstudies.net. But in addition to individual training, we also have group activities that are focused on enhancing the common good and making the internal spiritual life visible and practical in an external way. One of the initiatives that we started several years ago, which we're quite excited about, is an intentional collaboration with other like-minded groups. And this collaboration with Spirit Fire is an excellent example. We're thrilled to have this collaboration. If any of you listening belong to an organization that would like to collaborate with us in some way, please take a look on our website at esotericstudies.net at the kinds of collaboration that we're already engaged in and that we're looking for. And we would love to hear from you in terms of ways that we can work together. So, Steve, back to you.
That was so beautifully said. The externalization, yes, of spiritual practices made practical. I love that. You know, practice it. Make it practical. That is what Spirit Fire is focused upon as well, which is why the two of us get along so well. We are dedicated to cultivating spirituality and showing people ways in which they can integrate these practices into their everyday lives. We do that through primarily our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. It's a 14-step, if you will, 14 tools presented online. And then we've got a retreat center, a meditation center in Western Massachusetts, where we hold retreats to support that meditation practice. We also teach online classes. And you can find out more about our meditation retreats and training at spiritfire.com, and actually find out more about all that we do at Spirit Fire Radio as well, which is quite lovely. We're very happy to be joining the School for Esoteric Studies as well. So, Dorothy, where do we go from here?
Well, I think we need to talk about the whole concept of points of tension. And I'm going to introduce this, Steve, by giving a little peek into the future. The School for Esoteric Studies is in the process of developing, and will be publishing this month, a white paper on inclusive social action. Now, what do I mean by that? We live in a time of great change, and people can talk about this in a number of different ways. But in terms of what we need to adapt to, you know, we're moving from the Piscean, more hierarchical, strict order type of environment to the Aquarian, which is more of a collaborative peer-to-peer environment, removing from the emphasis on Ray 6, which is the devotional, more mystic orientation, to Ray 7, which has a completely different feel to it. So in addition to the political changes going on, we have these energetic, major energetic changes happening. And it's not responsible to simply ignore what's going on and not participate. We have a commitment, which we've talked about before, Steve, to being harmless. Okay, we look around us, we see great harm going on, and we ourselves are culpable if we don't call it out, if we don't do something. But how do we do that in a way that doesn't just increase divisiveness? And that's the challenge that we're focused on in this white paper. One aspect of that is thinking about how we work with points of tension, because energy, in order to take any action, we have to have some tension that we then release. If you think about, you know, picking up a glass, you have to tense your fingers around that glass. If you just leave them lax, lying against the glass, it'll fall. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to exercise that tension, but then you have to consciously think about when you release that. And the process of adaptability, to me, has very much to do with how we create the tension and when we release it. What's the focus of that release?
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And you also just can't get beyond the word tension. I mean, it's around these days. We look at, you know, tension. When you talked about the Piscean Age and the Aquarian Age, you can see where there is even a resistance or a tension, a resistance to moving into a new way of being, a new paradigm. You can see that certain power types or certain where there is leadership that is single-mindedness or where that is single-minded, or you see this idea of how did you put it about the Piscean Age, that really it is about devotion. You know, we see polarities, especially in our political and social systems, where there's this idea of really it is about my devotion to an idea or an ideal, and this tension as resistance to change toward this idea of the Aquarian model, which is really peer-to-peer, as you said, or group, that there is strength in numbers, meaning that each plays an important role, and that there's strength in diversity, and to look at all of the various parts as they fit together to create the whole. It's a very different way of being. So often within change comes tension as well, right? I mean, a different mm-hmm. way of looking at tension. Not so much just on the physical properties of it, but indeed, if you've ever been in a tense situation, when you get rigid, you snap. So you've got to learn to adapt to relieve the tension, but it is that tension that actually teaches us quite a bit. It reveals quite a bit about ourselves, about a situation, about where change is necessary.
Yes, and you know, you talked about relieving the tension. The issue is we don't want to just release it to no purpose, to no good.
Right.
It needs to have a focus. It needs to have an intention behind it. If we look at the political environment in the United States right now, the concept of working across the aisle, of trying to understand somebody else's perspective, and then see if there isn't a way to meet everyone's needs, that for some reason seems to be being downplayed or even poo-pooed with more of the strong-armed Piscean, my way or the highway. You know, I'm going to force it through. I'm going to make it happen. I don't care how many people it hurts in the process. I don't know. I don't care how many people it ignores in the process. And so we have, people saying, oh, well, these people that are protesting. They're just paid protesters, which is a real dismissive and harmful way of treating other members of one's own national community. So this is all, you know, when we talk about points of tension, it's, you know, am I going to just reserve energy for myself and only release it in a way that works for me or for my small group? Or am I going to focus it on the common good? Am I going to focus that release, that adaptation on something that will work for all of us?
And you're right that it is about a flow. You know, success in adaptation is has much to do with flexibility and flow. So it's not just, as I love that you brought that forward, that it's not just releasing a way of being, but it's actually movement and adaptation toward a new way of being, an evolved way of being. Because, you know, this sort of age of Aquarius that you know, we've moved beyond the dawning of the age of Aquarius, and we're really approaching being really situated within the age of Aquarius, which will last a very long time. But it is there for a reason that we move from one to the other, and there are great lessons to be learned from the Piscean age, and it is adapting to the new with all that you have gained and learned from that which has passed, instead of this clear-cut release. So I sort of appreciate you bringing that up.
But another thing that I think is really critical, which is alluded to in what you're saying, is learning the correct timing of that adaptation process, yep, of that release process. Because if we release too soon, it's a misfire, right? It's premature closure. If we wait too long, we get congested or constipated. We become, and you're talking about being so rigid that we snap. We miss opportunities, right? We generate too much stress. So what we want is joy. A joyful expression of adaptation where we have an optimal balance of that intensely focused energy counterbalanced by a constructive periodic release. And when I was looking, you know, doing some research for our program today, I was interested in an observation by a cardiologist that the more the heart varies its heart rate between certain parameters, the healthier the heart is. If a heart always beats at exactly the same rhythm, ultimately that is not healthy. I'd never thought of that before.
Yeah, and you can see that as there's variability, it actually becomes more flexible. It is more adaptive. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Dorothy, we're at a break, but I would love to continue this conversation just a little bit about tension, just to talk for a moment about tensegrity. As you bring up the body, it makes me think of ways we absorb forces. So we're going to go to a short break, and we'll be right back to continue this conversation.
Find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Do you believe you are meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to get it? What does the phrase, "give me the joy," make you feel? Join me, Lynn Horde, every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, on the Give Me the Joy Show, as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. To find out more about my work as the Joy Coach, including my popular programs, Joy School and Joy at Work, visit lynnhorde.com.
Hey there, welcome back, listeners. It's great to be with you. I'm really enjoying our conversation, Dorothy, about adaptability. Something I know, I mean, personally, I try daily to be more adaptive. Sometimes I'm told I should try a little bit harder. But, you know, we were talking before the break about that heart variability actually reflects a healthy heart, and so it is. I just find the human body to be so amazing. I mean, we talk about being spiritual beings in this you know, human body. Well, it's just fascinating. But this term tensegrity, I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a word that is formed from the two words tension, which we were talking about, and integrity. So how does a system or a structure absorb tension without losing its integrity? Like if we think of a building, an architectural building, really it stays up by compression. So, you know, you've got bricks on top of bricks on top of bricks and bedrock underneath, and it's tension pushing down, gravity, it's weight pushing down that's holding that building together. But there's another kind of structure called a tensegrity structure. And if you've ever seen them, it looks like a bunch of wires and poles. And if you've got those globes that people play with where you can bend it and turn it, and it actually absorbs movement and change without ever losing its integrity as a shape. It can always come back to the shape it was. And our body is like that. If you've ever seen those classroom models of a spine where you've got all of the discs and they're all connected by a wire, and you move that spine around and it absorbs the pressure that you're putting on it that's forcing it to move. So it's constantly adapting to forces that are coming its way. So our body is actually this wonderful model of adaptivity. You know, it's our fascia actually that is the distribution network in our body that distributes and absorbs forces. But our body is this wonderful, you know, example of adaptation. I think of that when they developed that machine when they filmed Rocky. Remember, Rocky was running up the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and it was the first time they had developed this tensegrity structure to put a camera on so that the person could run up the stairs and actually film Sylvester Stallone, and it was smooth. It was absorbing the force of that person running up the stairs and allowing the camera to stay still. So, you know, if we could all be that balanced and composed and, you know, preserve our integrity when it feels like, you know, we're jamming ourselves up a bunch of stairs. If I could go further, Dorothy, if you don't mind, it reminds me there's a documentary coming out. It's called Free Solo. And free soloing means you're climbing up a mountain without any rocks or ropes, meaning it's you, your fingertips, shoes, and rocks. You know, and this amazing climber, his name is Alex Honnold. He just climbed, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, El Capitan in Yosemite without a rope. And there are parts of that climb where he seems to defy gravity. I mean, literally his fingers and feet, there's such precision. But he talks about anticipation. And I know we wanted to bring that concept of anticipation into this discussion. And there's a TED Talk and the film's coming out, but I just watched the TED Talk before this. And there was a transcript of it. And I've got a quote that is so interesting about him talking about anticipating this climb. He says, it was the culmination of nearly a decade-long dream. And in this video, which is the documentary, he's over 2,500 feet above the ground. And he says, it seems scary. Yeah, it is, which is why I spent so many years dreaming about soloing without ropes, El Cap, which is short, and not actually doing it. But on the day the video was taken, it didn't feel scary at all. It felt as comfortable and natural as a walk in the park, which is what most folks were doing in Yosemite that day. But he goes on to talk about anticipation, about preparation, investigation, really about he actually uses the words precision and flexibility at the same time, that he needs precision and flexibility. So anticipation is this really wonderful quality about adaptation that I know we want to talk about, because you've got to be able to you've got to be able to anticipate what might come your way so that it makes adaptation smoother, right?
Well, and that makes it possible. You know, me, one of the characteristics of anticipation, one of the positive characteristics is rehearsal. And I think that's what you're alluding to from the TED Talk, is that mental rehearsal of different options. And we've talked about this before in terms of choice. You know, for myself, one of my processes is I imagine having tried one thing, having adapted in one way, and how does that feel? And then I imagine adapting in a different way. How does that feel? And then in another way, and so on, so that I get that preview of what I might choose to do when I'm in a situation where I do need to adapt.
Dorothy, can I ask you, do you sense most people do that?
I don't know. I think some people do, and I think other people are, they kind of, when they think about a possibility of a different option, they kind of lock down instead of moving into it mentally.
Yeah, because I would say that is something you learn, because you learn how beneficial and useful it can be. I think a lot of people will just sort of wing it, you know, and realize, oh, well, I wish I would have thought that through. So, you know, listeners, I mean, what a great exercise, you know, if you've got, you know, an endeavor coming up, or if you expect that there will be a change in on the smallest level or the grandest level, you know, is to go through ways in which you might adapt, what might come forward, and you know, you will be relied upon to adapt to make it go smooth. I don't think a lot of people do that. He talks about that in the TED Talk, that he did a climb before that where he really did just wing it. And not only was it scary and at times very dangerous, but it wasn't as rewarding. You know, he didn't, he wasn't able to be in the moment to really enjoy what was happening. And so, you know, I wanted to just also take a second to talk about reward, because it's interesting that this idea of anticipation is really built into our biology. I mean, it's a part of our biological evolution. We're really built to be productive through anticipation. Our body actually made us productive by making anticipation more pleasurable than and more rewarding. Like, the anticipation of pleasure is more rewarding than the pleasure itself. Just think about, you know, eating a sugar donut. You look at it and you think, oh, this feels so good, because your body actually releases dopamine that says, yes, yes, want the sugar donut. Then you eat the sugar donut and you crash. You feel like awful after eating. You think, why did I eat the sugar donut or three sugar donuts? But then you want it again. And so we seem to be hardwired to really actually enjoy this idea of anticipating. So if we move that away from sugar donuts and maybe toward, you know, other more worldly endeavors, we actually can enjoy it. And we talked about that, right, Dorothy, that a component of adaptability has to do with a sense of wonder and a sense of excitement and being, discovering new things.
Right. And I feel the need to interject at this point. If you're doing that kind of anticipation, it is very helpful. In fact, I would say mandatory to anticipate at least three different ways of doing things. You know, that moves you away from that illusion of duality that there's only two right. ways to do things. So, you know, you think about that. And I just want to give tribute to my parents. I think that they helped me embed that by, you know, when I was in a situation where either I was challenged, I wasn't sure what to do, or the way that I handled it didn't work out very well. The conversation that they would have is, well, what is another way that you could have done it? And then what's another way? And then what's another way? So it wasn't a matter of getting at a, quote, right way of doing it. It was thinking through different ways and what the pluses and minuses of them might be. So I think that, for me, helped embed that mental rehearsal process, which for me is extremely helpful in being able to adapt quickly to new situations. Because that's one of our challenges, right, Steve, is that oftentimes we're presented with a situation where we need to respond immediately. We don't have a chance to go off and think it through. And so if we haven't been doing this mental rehearsal, we don't have a repertoire to draw on of different possibilities.
But what a blessing, Dorothy. I mean, what a blessing to have parents that would say, well, what are other ways you could have done this? And you can see how that, what all that engages by asking somebody, a child, that question. There's a sense of responsibility and self-reliance, and also having them just ponder options, right? And we've talked about that, options and their relationship to hope. You know, that really, it's about the process. The joy is actually in the process, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the whole idea of anticipation is drawing on that ability to recall and analyze the past and project it forward into the future and have confidence in our ability to handle a wide range of situations. Maybe not always, I was going to say maybe not always optimally, but I'd like to change that to say that I think that for most of us, if we are self-aware and if we are trying to be, to move towards the common good, whatever we do in the moment is the best that we can do in that moment. Yeah. It doesn't mean that next week we might not be able to respond in a different way that actually brings even more positive results. So I don't want to get the idea that there's one best way to act, but we, in the moment, as long as we have enough repertoire to draw on, we can come up with ways of adapting that will be positive. As long as we have, and I'm going to bring in here a word that we've used over and over again, Steve, but I just feel it's so important, as long as we have that moral compass that will immediately, you know, kind of like a magnet, it'll say, no, that's a harmful way to go. All right. Yes, this is something to consider.
And that brings tension back into it. If we are self-aware and if our moral compass has been set properly, we will notice when the compass is off. We will sense that tension. You know, it creates mm-hmm. tension, and that is how we grow. That's how we refine. That's how we learn. You know, and even if perhaps you, as you said, you make a choice and it wasn't the best choice, and then you need to adapt perhaps to repercussions. But if you can stay optimistic, if you can realize, well, you know, if you're self-aware, you realize, well, the criticism isn't going to take me too far. Let's adapt to this. And let's see, you know, how we might change once again, maybe by doing it differently the next time. And that will certainly teach you to anticipate what mm-hmm. the result might be with that choice. So yeah, it really does come down to awareness and this idea of flexibility and non-judgment, I find. Dorothy, we're already at another break, so we're going to be right back after these words. Join us.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Machanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Machanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Machanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. We're continuing our discussion on the process of adaptability. Dorothy, during the break, you mentioned a really wonderful quote. I wondered if you'd share it with us.
Sure. And that is, success is a journey, not a destination. You know, our focus needs to be on process. And we've talked about that before, Steve, in terms of, you know, interconnectivity, interdependence, that it is how we are with each other that is the most important, not the specifics of what we accomplish, but the process.
Yes. So, Dorothy, we mentioned hope several times in this segment, or in this show, rather. And, you know, those two are really intrinsically connected. So I wonder if we could tease that out for the last segment. You know, we've talked mm-hmm. quite a bit about how hope is linked to optimism. It's linked to having options and actually seeing options, or even better yet, Dorothy, right, creating options, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for me, the link between hope and adaptability is that it is that hope itself is a mental attitude that helps us focus on goals that are important to us that have uncertain outcomes. And how is it that we're going to achieve them? Because, if you know for sure what's going to happen, it's not a big deal. If you know for sure that this is the only way that you can behave. But a lot of our lives, in a lot of situations where we do need to be adaptable, it is a situation of uncertainty. Yep. And so how is it that we're going to keep ourselves motivated and moving along and experimenting with different options, even if they don't work out? There's, I think it was Einstein that said something like, someone who's never made a mistake hasn't lived.
Yeah. You know. Hasn't truly lived.
That's right. You have to be willing to try things and have them not work out, and you learn from that and see it as a learning as opposed to a failure.
Well, in that you mentioned uncertain outcomes, it makes me think of setting intentions. So often we set an intention and then we just want it to happen right away. This is what I want to see happen, and where is it? We get really impatient. Right. And as you said, that it's the journey. Success is a journey. It's not a destination. And I find, when we set an intention, I would say that the intention is then so. Energy follows thought, as we mentioned at the very beginning of this show. So when you have an intention and it is clear and it is concise and you say, I am going to do this. When I lived in New York City for many, many, many years, and there was a time when my soul just said enough tension, really, that comes in comes along with living in New York City. And I had an idea. I knew that nature would replace culture for me. I love that culture is always changing and evolving. And I had a sense, as I was always in Central Park for the last many years I lived in New York City, I could tell that it was really the changing of nature. It was being closer to Earth that was really important to me. And I set that intention. It's time for me to go. And then it was the joy of watching that unfold because my intention was so clear. So then as new opportunities came up, I would sort of allow them to unfold in relationship to that intention. And we've talked about it many moons ago, Dorothy, this idea of intention, relation, and momentum. This 1, 2, 3, we set an intention and then cooperative components come together. And as it all comes together, it creates momentum. But we've got to stay adaptable within that so that when our, these sort of goals that we have created are starting to come to fruition, we're not locked into one way of seeing it, but that as we evolve and move toward those goals, we're adaptable, we are flexible, but we're still, that intention is still present. And so it becomes about the process of remaining adaptable to allowing various relationships to come forward and us to adapt and roll with them and move with them and allow that to create momentum toward our goals.
I'd like to introduce a concept that I think is really important. I think you're getting at it, but I think it's important to be explicit, and that is the concept of detachment. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that we get ourselves in trouble is we set an intention that is very, very specific. In other words, it's my way. This is the one thing that has to happen. And what I have found, and I think what's borne out in spiritual literature, is that, yes, we need to understand what we want to manifest, but we need to detach ourselves from the specific way in which it will manifest. Mm-hmm. So that there are a number of different things that could unfold. I think particularly, and I may have shared this before with our listeners, but I think particularly of a time when I was living in Arizona, and I had been involved in a lot of social activism which was very meaningful, but frankly didn't produce any money. And I really needed to find a work context where I could be earning a decent living and be able to pay for food and rent and that kind of thing. And so I set out an intention. I wrote down the qualities of what I was looking for, not the specific, you know, I want this job, but I want something that will allow me to do these things. And I focused very specifically on it, and I got a job within a couple of weeks, one that I would never have thought of going after, but that worked very well for me.
Yeah.
And it was a good lesson in not specifying what the end product had to be, allowing that to unfold.
That word qualities is so wonderful. Like, what are the qualities that I would love to see present? You know, and that it being that loose. And for me, it was the same thing. It was really just about nature. And here I am living on top of a mountain in Massachusetts, looking out the window right now at gorgeous autumn leaves. Indeed, I love that you say that about attachment or detachment. Do I do that all the time, right, Dorothy? detachment. You know, and I'm sure we will talk further. We'll get into that a little bit more as the month goes on and we continue talking about adaptability, because it comes down to conditions. You know, this idea of conditional living, you know, really, it just limits our capacity to be adaptable if we really rely on conditions and are stuck. So, Dorothy, we're really at the end of the show. We have about another minute, and I just also would like to invite listeners to go to spiritfireradio.com or Transformation Talk Radio to look into our archives. You know, it's been wonderful. It's been almost a half a year already that we've covered so many wonderful topics, and all of the archives are there. So I invite you to take a look at them and have a listen if you're not listening to us regularly. And as well, School for Esoteric Studies, a wonderful website, and invite you to check out Spirit Fire as well.
EsotericStudies.net.
Yes. Beautiful. Well, Dorothy, we're going to talk about when to adapt next week, right? Timing is everything. So
yes.
I look forward to that conversation and have really enjoyed today. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners.
Thanks for being with us, listeners.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.